Hello, everybody. Welcome into another episode of the Make Comics Podcast. He's Jim Gibbons. I'm Joey Groh, and today we're talking comics and math.
Yeah,
it's the all math episode. We're only going to talk in zeros and ones, and then at the other side, you'll know how to perfectly budget your time to make a comic. And now this actually came from you, Jim, and thinking about comic schedules in a way that I thought was super interesting on how. You know, maybe this predated your time in editorial, how you think about scheduling for making a comic and putting together what you want to put together.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. I definitely, when I got into, you know, more whatever English and writing based stuff, right? As far as subjects in school, it was because math is not my strong suit. And then of course I got into publishing and I realized, well, crap, there's a lot of math involved here. But thankfully, when you're talking about math and comics, I can wrap my head around it a little bit more easily. And yeah, I mean, this idea came up. I was writing a thing recently, and it was a 22 page issue, and I had a short deadline to work on. And I was like, okay, I can do this, right? And I realized kind of a simple thing, which is I never kind of put myself in the shoes of the same math that for years of building schedules at a publisher or as an editor that I was constantly expecting them to do, which is basically how long does it take you to do your work? And when you add that up, how much time do you need? And it, which sounds simple, right? Like, I mean, yeah. It's something that's probably so simple. Like, hopefully most of you are like, well, I'm done with this podcast. I already do that. Maybe keep listening, because I definitely thought I did that too. And what I realized is hella simple, but I kind of wasn't doing it. I don't know. It's a strange thing, but hopefully a strange thing that, you know, and sometimes you do, what is it like addressing the problem is the first step. You got to be like, oh, I actually need to do the math. So
no, it's 100%. You might not put into words, or it might not occur to you that, oh, this is the thing I've been working around for a while. Why don't I just do X, Y, and Z? So from, well, I guess thinking about it as an editor or creator, is there just kind of basic math that you start with as far as thinking about a monthly comic or putting together an issue?
Yeah, and I would say, you know, if you haven't like spent some time Googling tutorials on how to build like schedules that flow based on time, you know, time being added and dates in Excel, that's going to be like, you know, 10 to 15 minutes that's going to be well spent if you're building schedules. Because at the end of the day, I mean, that's how we did it. That's how we did it. Dark, I'm sure most publishers work that day. You're kind of building based on time it takes to do things and building backwards from the date you want to hit. So usually like to just kind of set that up, right? Like basically as an editor, when I would be kicking off a project, the first thing I would do when it came to schedule building is I'd be touching base with my writer, my artist, my colorist, you know, any member of the creative team, and finding out, you know, ideally, perfect world, how much time it takes them to work. And so, you know, what that might break down to is something like 4 weeks for script, 5 weeks for line art, 2 weeks for colors, a week for lettering. We can probably presume that the design work for the book is being done during the coloring and lettering time, but that might be an additional week or two. You know, it depends on how you build your schedule.
Yeah.
And then usually the final files date, which is the date that the book is sent off to the printer, it's another 4 weeks that it goes from the printer, at least 4 weeks from the printer to wherever, you know, the physical copy is going to live, a comic shop, delivered to your home, whatever it is. So that's, you know, kind of the setup there, right, is like roughly 16 weeks, but it could be anything. You know, you could be working with an artist who does paint, you know, painted art, and it takes them 10 weeks to do an issue. Like, these are the things you put into it. But once you plug those things in, you begin to realize, okay, if I need to have to get this issue done, you know, 16 weeks from now, I need to start today. And I think it's kind of when you start wrapping your head around that, and then obviously comics is so collaborative, it's like a domino effect, you know, like if a writer is late, then an artist is late, then a colorist is late. Like if one domino starts going over time, then you're not going to hit your 16. Now, you're not going to hit those 16 weeks. You know, some people can make up for time, all that, but basically you got to set out and go, okay, this is something that takes X number of weeks, and I need to put that into the schedule. And then, you know, if you're building this up for a few issues, right, then it's like you basically have to start with whatever your issue 5 or whatever finish date is and work backwards from there, because, you know, issue 2 has to get done on time for 3 to get done on time for 4 to end up having 5 come out on time. So, you know, hopefully in a sense, right, like that's kind of basic math, you know, things need to get done on time for you to finish your book on time. And so to do that, you need to understand what each part of the process takes, which, you know, like I said, I say that, I think it sounds simple, but I think really think about that for a second. That means everybody has to hit their deadlines, or everybody has to be early if someone else is late, or if someone is late, someone has to make up time. And then you have whatever your end dates are to hit. And if you don't hit those, then the book gets pushed. And then that's a big problem for everybody.
Yeah. And to restate it, working backwards, always a good step in so many creative services, but especially in a team sport like comics, where you've got different people doing different things at different times and all the variables of life thrown in. And I know that cushion for deadlines isn't always available, but at the very least, figuring out how to put everything together is a good starting point.
Yeah, and I will say, like, the best kept secret that's not well kept at all in comics is that if every single editor is padding everyone's deadline, because everyone will be late.
Sure.
And, you know, there are definitely many, many creators who are not always late, you know, but at the same point, you build in those buffers. But if you as a creator get a deadline from an editor and you go, oh, they probably gave me 2 weeks, and then you turn things in 2 weeks late, don't do that. That's not good for anybody. I mean, I shouldn't have to say that, but don't do that. Let those buffers live there. Let the book get done ahead of time. Let everybody be really happy and chill and calm and feel very happy about working on the book, because it's not stressful, because it's all getting done on time.
Yeah, you'll never not have regretted being ahead. I've never regretted that in any aspect of life. And a lot of times, as a guy who was very procrastinating in high school and college, becoming the building the habit, which it took a long time to build the habit of being ahead on as much as I could, was was tricky. And as much as I aim for deadlines now, I'm pretty good about not missing them in my day job, and especially on the comics front. I would not want to, you know, enter into relationships working with folks where I was dropping the ball and being behind. And I think, you know, the nature of that for me can sometimes be a little bit of paralysis of getting started. And I think that's, you know, maybe doesn't quite tie into that, but it's the, I don't even know if this is a rabbit hole to go down in terms of thinking about drafts or getting stuff done, getting something on the page to get started, to even if it's going to be revised later, where maybe, you know, first page is, well, this is going to be exposition and it's going to be on the spaceship. So let me just write some, you know, dialogue that's maybe placeholder, maybe not the final, and get going. And then you get a couple pages in and realize, like, oh, this is what I should be writing, and get to go back in and revise, because you have something to revise, because you've got it started, because you unclog the gears to get it rolling, to get it moving. You know, for me, at the very least, I try to at least get drafts going, even if I know that it might not be the final thing, because something's got to get on paper, and I'd rather have, you know, the kinks worked out as best I can, or even if it means throwing it away, at least I got something going and figured out it was the wrong direction and knew that, rather than thinking that it was the direction I was going to pursue.
Well, absolutely. And I think where it really ties in is I always presumed, and I didn't really do this for myself until I was writing myself. And as soon as I did it, I thought, I don't know why I never did this earlier, but whenever I would send, when I would ask a writer or whatever it might be, an artist, and I'd say, well, how long does it take you to do this? And they would say, well, it's going to take me 3 weeks to do pencils or something like that. In my head, I was like, well, assuredly this person is going, well, it's 22 pages and I can do a page a day. So 22 days is roughly 3 weeks. And so I'm going to ask for 3 weeks, and that's what, you know, whatever I'm going to put forward. But I don't know that necessarily everyone does that. I'm sure many people do that. But I think I always presumed people were in their head, instead of going, oh, well, I'll procrastinate for 2 weeks and then do the whole thing in a week, they were going, I'm going to make sure that I do a little bit of work every day. And I think that's the way to go. but I, you know, I think it comes down to this bit of advice too, right? Where you're talking about sometimes the problem is just getting started. Sometimes you just got to start getting words on paper. You just got to start the work. And I, when I think about this whole concept, I always think about this White Stripes song, which is a weird tangent to take, but there's this song called Little Acorns, and it opens with this narration from like an old news broadcast. It's all about this woman who's feeling really down and depressed, and she's really having a hard time dealing with all of the things that are going wrong in her life. And then she sees this squirrel out in her yard burying acorns for winter. And she I think this, the narration goes, it's like, and she realized if that squirrel could do things like one thing at a time to make sure it would survive the winter, then she could start doing things one thing at a time to survive like what she was going through. And so every time this comes up in my head, there's a lyric in the song later where it just says, be like the squirrel, girl, be like the squirrel. and so in my head, every time I'm like, you know, and like the song says, like, take your problems and rip them apart. It's like, you've got a 22-page script to write. How long is page one going to take? Knock out one page, and then whatever. If you have that done, then that's done, and you can move on to the next one. And that's what I found when I was working on this project. I had 2 days, or I'm sorry, 2 weeks, 14 days to write 22 pages. And so I did the math, and I was like, that's a pretty quick turnaround. And I've got, you know, how much time I've got to manage around my life and job and all this other stuff. But I was like, I need to write, you know, based on the math, a page and a half a day. And I was like, so I'll aim for 2 pages a day and I'll beat my deadline. And in a perfect world, that's what will happen. And shockingly, then I think maybe just wrapping my head around that math, I had an amazing first day and I wrote like 5 pages on the first day. And then like that eased up my whole, you know, timeline for the entire next 2 weeks. But the bottom line was every time that like if something came up one night and I couldn't sit down and write, I was like, all right, well, I have, you know, whatever, 8 pages done right now.
Yeah.
And as long as I do 1 page tomorrow, then I have to do 2 pages for the next week or whatever it was. Like having that mental, or, you know, not even mental math, having that actual math down. So I knew, okay, I missed today. Am I ahead of schedule or am I behind schedule? What do I need to do to catch up on schedule? And then, you know, if you sat down and, you know, wrote a little bit more one day, great. Then you write a little bit more one day. But what I learned through this process as well is, at least on this project, it was taking me about an hour to write a page. So I need to write 2 pages a day. I needed roughly 2 hours to work. Certain pages, obviously like splash pages, goes a little bit shorter. But at the same point, you know, then I was looking at things where I'm going, okay, well, still, then I'm taking a little bit less time, but then maybe I can do the splash page and do, you know, another page. So I'm doing 3 pages that day because the splash page maybe went a little bit quicker. And so it basically became this thing of, I began to really understand my own work process better so I could make sure I was hitting the deadlines better. And just having that math as part of it was so reassuring because I knew, hey, I just got to do a little bit every day.
Yeah. It's taking a breath and sitting down and typing it out or drawing it out, writing it out seems to be super helpful when it comes to that kind of thing. And it can help in the moments too, I'm sure, in accepting projects, because sometimes you are put on the spot, and being able to put it on the back of a napkin and go, oh yeah, that's doable. Or, you know what, not doable. Or, hey, let's talk about a different schedule. Or even sometimes budgetarily, you know, that can come up with how much does this cost? I know from estimating stuff with my day job, a lot of times it's the quick math of giving a budget range, because I've done it before.
Absolutely.
And I know how to say, well, I think it's going to cost this, but here's where I think we might, you know, encounter a slowdown or a problem, or we've got to make sure that you all have this and done internally, and just to try to understand the big picture for everybody and what my role in that means to to that big picture, to make sure, of course, I can deliver, but also try to take into account everybody else and what they have going on.
Well, and I think that's the next step of this math, right? Like, if you know that a page as a writer takes you an hour, or as an artist takes you a day, then you can also look and budget wise, you go, okay, what am I getting paid for this? Like, can I afford to commit 8 hours to this if I'm going to earn, you know, only $75 to do this 8 hour amount of work? Or do I need to make sure I'm negotiating for a higher rate? You know, like, part of that is part of understanding your workflow and part of understanding your own career and also understanding how to pay your bills. But I think, you know, that's part of this whole process too. Like, you don't want to agree to a deadline that you can't possibly hit. And so knowing how much time it takes you and how much time you have available in the coming 3 weeks, you're not going to agree to something that takes 4 weeks when you only really have 2 weeks worth of time to work on it or whatever it might be. And then you're also not going to, you know, ideally find yourself, you know, agreeing to three different jobs that aren't paying you enough to survive. So I think it's one of those things you the math should be able to help you creatively knock out, you know, kind of make sure you're knocking things out on time, but it should also help you career-wise, making sure you're spending the right time and money on anything you're agreeing to.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's, so much of it is the math. We'll see what our final episode title is, if it's going to be the Squirrel Girl or Hey Math. I don't know if you have any closing thoughts, but I feel like you've done a really good job of breaking down the...
No, I mean, you know, I think this is, it's a relatively simple idea, right? And I think the thing is, the hard part of this one is actually applying it, is I think the toughest part of it. So that's the potential issue. If you can apply this, I think it'll work for you, because it just sets you up to succeed, I think. And if it doesn't, I mean, I'd be curious. Like, I think this seems like a logical way to put things forward, but I'm sure people have things that are work for them and are more logical. And it's one of those things, like, this is like, I want like a thread on the forums now to be like, does this make sense to you? Is this how you work? How do you work if you don't work like this? Because part of me is just curious, because once I kind of came upon the realization that I should have come upon, you know, from years of giving people schedules, I thought, my God, this is so obvious.
Those are those moments, though, where you slap your head and go, right, no, this is what we should have been doing all along. This is it. This is...
Exactly.
But it takes the time to learn it, you know? Sometimes it takes that realization to go, oh, yeah. Right here the whole time. With all that in mind, easy math, you have questions, you can email info@comicsexperience.com and we'll talk about it on the show. You can tweet @comicexperience on Twitter, no S, because the math did not work out in terms of the length for names that were allotted. And Jim is @TheJimGibbons on Twitter, and you can follow him there, sign up for his newsletter, and ask him questions, amongst many other things, on Twitter. And Jim, last episode we talked about one of the things you had coming out, which is your comic that was a collaboration with Dark Horse and a brewery, if I can say the word.
Yeah.
So we'll be on the lookout for that. And thejimgibbons.com?
That's correct. That's correct.
From memory, should have had it in front of me. Didn't have it in front of me.
But and you still got it right, Joey. That's what counts.
ComicsExperience.com is the only other URL I can remember. If you want to go and check out what's going over there at the Comics Experience, you can see the classes that are available and coming up, as well as sign up for the workshop and the email newsletter that comes out, and check out the Comics Experience blog, which we've been getting some behind-the-scenes questions where folks have been asking about getting past episodes of the podcast, because different services offer them differently, and I think that has been addressed here and there. So if you do have questions about hearing more of the back catalog of Comics Experience, Make Comics Podcast, you can find out more info over there, or again, email info@comicsexperience, and somebody will get you listening to the back catalog rather, of Comics Experience, Make Comics Podcast episodes. And until next time, please keep making comics.